Thank you very much. It's a real joy, as well as a privilege, to be back here at Heart of the Palm. Where am I from? Our brother Don Taylor, who has mentioned our brother Bob Magionia today, once introduced me as being from down under, but I was going up yonder. Last December, I completed 17 years at the Washington Bible College. That was supposed to be my retirement. Miss Bergston, who is the president's secretary and is known to Beryl and Helen here, gave us a book entitled Retirement is for the Birds. And I agree with the title, and I'm amused at the content. We came back to this country beginning of June to spend the month of June in Burlington, North Carolina. And then on the 1st of July, we flew to the Shetland Islands for the centenary of Assembly missionary work in that part of the world. My grandfather, who was in full-time service for the Lord, went there in 1890. My father commenced a ministry there in 1903, and for the next 44 years spent most of his time evangelizing in the Shetland Islands and establishing local churches. Just 52 years ago, that's all, I commenced my evangelistic ministry in Shetland. Now, you're all trying to work out what age I would have been then. So I'm going to put you out of your misery, and I'm going to tell you that I was 18 years of age, so you can add that up and you'll know what age I am. I had 15 weeks of meetings right on a stretch, 13 weeks in one place and then 2 weeks in another. And we had meetings every night except Saturday. I preached, first of all, a message to children from 6 o'clock till 7, the children's meeting. And then from 7:30 to 9, they told me that many had come a long way and it wasn't worth coming if the meeting only lasted an hour. So I should go on at least an hour and a half, which I was not all that well prepared for, but I was able to endure to the end. During these days, friends, we saw many, many souls won to Christ. It was one of the greatest experiences in my life. Young people, older people, made a decision for Christ. I saw the Lord at work. And I remember praying at that time, O Lord, never take away from me the desire to win souls for you. And that prayer has been abundantly answered. We have had evangelistic meetings in New Zealand, and God has blessed. We have seen many souls won to Christ during the past months, and for this we give grateful thanks to God. I will be returning to the Washington Bible College as soon as I finish here. I've come from there, and I'm going back there. And I will be there till the end of October, when I have to return to New Zealand for further meetings there. And then, God willing, next year I'll be spending a complete semester at the Washington Bible College. God has greatly blessed in that ministry. It has given me a tremendous sense of fulfillment over the years, and I've just not been able to tear myself away from the place. They must have known that, because when I went back this time, they had my office already waiting for me. So we look forward to continuing our ministry at the Washington Bible College. We have a new president. He's a young man of just 43 years of age, and the Lord is greatly using him in giving a new direction to the school and in continuing the work that was so well established for over 40 years by our good friend and brother, George Miles, who most of you know. Now, after being at the dedication today, I began preparing a message from the book of the Acts. And so I worked on that this afternoon, and here it is now, Acts chapter 4. The book of the Acts, chapter 4. Reading at verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, or the son of exhortation, or the son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now let's look at chapter 9 of the same book, Acts chapter 9, and at verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out to Jerusalem, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Chapter 11 of the same book. Verse 22. Acts 11, verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cling unto the Lord, for he was a good or righteous man, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and many people were added unto the Lord. Now chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John as their helper. And finally, chapter 15, Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to all of our hearts. Shall we pause again for prayer? Gracious Lord and Master, we do ask that this evening thou wilt teach us lessons that will enable us to be more devoted to thee and more diligent in thy service. We thank thee, Lord, for the examples that thou hast given to us in thy word. And we pray that as the scripture has enjoined, that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, so this may indeed prove true this very evening as we commit this service again into thy hands in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The good brother, Ernest Woodhouse, was bringing that message this afternoon, which I thought was particularly apt and appropriate. I think he presented the most important facts concerning a man of God who meant so much to us and is now rejoicing in the Lord whom he served so faithfully. And I refer to our brother, Robert Willie. And as I thought of that, I then began to think of Barnabas, and I thought that there were many characteristics in Barnabas that were evident in the life and ministry of our dear departed brother. The first thing I've noted here concerning Barnabas was he was a committed man. He had committed himself to the Lord as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a commitment of his faith. We do not read the details concerning that time in his experience when he faced up to the fact of his sin and accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, but we know that he entered in to this wonderful, spiritual, soul-transforming experience. There was this commitment of his faith, and this, dear friends, must indeed always be the starting point. There has to come a time in our lives when we acknowledge our sin to God and when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. Tomorrow morning, God willing, I will be speaking on the subject of commitment and what this really means. Then may I say that on Monday morning, we're going to have a practical message on the subject, what to do when your stresses seem greater than your strengths. Does that sound interesting? What to do when your stresses seem greater than your strengths. That's Monday morning's talk. Sounds almost like a health talk, but it comes from the book of the Psalms. The commitment of his faith. But you will note from our first reading, there was also the commitment of his finances. He had property, and he sold it, and gave it to the Lord's work. Now we thank God for the day in Bob Willie's experience when he committed his life to Jesus Christ. When there was that commitment of his faith, and again he spoke of that time when he became a true follower of Jesus Christ. But I want to say, as most of you know, he also committed his finances to the Lord. I do not know any man in my experience who not only preached Christian stewardship, but who practiced it. Now, I know that from my own personal experience. I was 6 months connected with the work in Gainesville. It was in its infancy in those days, and thank God for the way in which it has prospered over the years, and God is blessed. And although another group took over the ministry, we praise God for what he is doing in that particular work today. During these days, because the work was new, I was severely tested again and again. I told the Lord of my needs, but our brother Willie also became very conscious of the fact that although I had been given the use of a car to travel around in, that car did not run on faith. It ran on fuel. And so again and again, the Lord exercised his heart about sharing with me what the Lord had given to him. So Vera, I not only got many cups of tea, but whether you know it or not, and I guess you do, I got other things besides. The brother Willie stood by me and stood with me during those days. He had a great emphasis upon the importance of giving to God. And I can hear him now speaking of how we should be exercised about offering to the Lord the first fruits so that the Lord would indeed honor and bless us. And because he was a man who exercised his Christian stewardship, who gave generously to the Lord abundantly blessed him. Because the scriptures are very true when it says, if we sow generously or liberally, the Lord will give us a generous reaping. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But the one who sows abundantly will reap likewise. The commitment of his faith, the commitment of his finances, and the commitment of his future. Barnabas looked ahead and believed that God had called him by his grace and he wanted to fulfill his commitment to the Lord. And again, as you will well remember, our dear brother Willie spoke of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was an example of one who lived with eternity's values in view. Live for self, we live in vain. Live for Christ, we live again. And how important it is that we think in terms of the future and that we spend our time and our talents for the glory of God as we anticipate the fact that each one of us as believers in Christ will one day have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, when all our actions will be weighed in the balances of the heavenly sanctuary and all our words will be analyzed in the light of eternity. A committed man. But Barnabas was also a caring man. And we have of that again this afternoon. Our brother Willie was a people person. Barnabas was interested in the new convert, Saul. We note this from chapter 9. The other apostles who were there were not willing to accept him because they doubted very much the genuineness of his faith. They knew that he had been a bitter opponent of the gospel, and they could not believe that this man had changed to the extent that he could now be one of them. You remember Ananias, who first went to see Saul, had the same problem. The Lord assured him that he had indeed turned from his sin and turned to the Lord. Someone told me about a dear brother in the New York area who, in a prayer meeting, got up and prayed and said, "Lord, you would see from the New York Times this morning that we're having more trouble with the Russians." Well, of course, the Lord doesn't have to read the New York Times to find out what's happening. And the Lord knew all that was going on in the heart of this new convert. But he was not willingly or readily accepted at first. But you will note it was Barnabas who had this interest in him, because he had the information concerning him. He said, "He has seen the Lord. The Lord has spoken to him." And he said, more than that, he speaks up boldly in the name of the Lord. So there was no doubt or question about the reality of the faith of this new convert. Saul had indeed been changed by the grace of God. And so he was introduced then to the apostles by Barnabas. And I'm sure Paul, as he was later called, would never forget that memorable introduction. Now, some of us had some different kind of introductions in our day. I went to Hobart, Tasmania the first time, and it was the state attorney who was the chairman of that meeting. I'd never met him, didn't know him at all. He had no knowledge of me, and he said he tried to find out about me, and he called up someone who thought he might have met me, and he said, "All I heard from this man was that he knew nothing against me." So I was introduced as a man about whom he had heard nothing against. That was a good introduction by a state attorney, I think. On another occasion, I'm not going to mention the place, but it was somewhere in Ontario, Canada. I went to a weeknight meeting. I'd never been to the assembly. I didn't know anyone who was there, but I had been booked to speak there on the weeknight meeting. I shall never forget the occasion because the brother got up and gave out the opening hymn. He prayed, gave out another hymn, and then he sat down. Well, I thought, there must surely be a session of prayer, and then they're going to ask me to speak. But it wasn't that at all, because I could hear right behind me an argument going on. The man who had opened the service was being told by his wife that he hadn't introduced me. And he said, "How can I? I can't remember his name." And so quite an argument was going on. She said, "Well, you'll have to stand up and say something." He said, "Well, I don't want to look stupid." Well, she said, "For goodness sake, do something." So he got up and he said, "Well, brother, I'm sorry I don't know your name, but we're very glad to have you here and we look forward to hearing you preach. I got up to speak and I said that reminded me of an instance in Australia where a brother got up and said, we're so glad to have a return visit from our dear brother. What's your name again? We'll never forget the last time he was here. He gave us such a wonderful message on, what did you speak on, brother? So there are some very interesting introductions. When A.P. Gibbs made his first visit to New Zealand, he was introduced as being a children's evangelist, a teacher of the word, a man who had written choruses and hymns, a man who had written books, and he got a wonderful introduction. And those of you who will remember A.P. Gibbs got up and he said, there are three kinds of lies, black lies, white lies, and introductions. Well, this introduction that was given by Barnabas to Saul was a very sincere and genuine one indeed. And he was then accepted, and he went out and came in with these disciples. He was associated with them from that time forward. A committed man, a caring man, a consistent man. Now Barnabas, as we note here in Acts chapter 11, verse 23, was a man who had seen something of what God had been doing in Antioch. And it says concerning him that he was a good or righteous man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And many people were added to the Lord. Now, as we think of our dear brother, Robert Willie, how true those words are of his ministry. As we think of his character and his conduct, we can say amen to that statement, not only relating to Barnabas, but also to our dear brother, now with the Lord. We note here what Barnabas saw. He saw the grace of God. Now, how can you see the grace of God? You see the grace of God in the changed lives of the people who have come under the power of God's delivering grace. And when he saw the grace of God, it says he was glad. He rejoiced in what God had accomplished through the preaching of the grand old gospel. Then what he said, he exhorted them or encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they would cling unto the Lord. You see, he was the son of encouragement. And he was always trying to encourage others in the work and witness of the Lord. And then we read of what he was. For he was a good or righteous man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and many people were added unto the Lord. Here we note his spirituality. He was a spiritual warrior, but praise God, he was also a soul winner. And there was nothing nearer or dearer to the heart of our brother Willie than in presenting the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, how he longed to see souls saved. Oh, how he loved to see the results of the preaching of the gospel. He had a real heart for souls and a desire to win others to Jesus Christ. And this should be our desire, and this should be our work for the Lord as we seek to meet others and share with them the emancipating evangel of Jesus Christ. You remember that chorus that came out of Moody Bible Institute, commemorating the work of that great soul winner of old, D.L. Moody. Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find the way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray, melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. A consistent man. Then we see that he was a confident man. And again this afternoon we heard much concerning this, not only in his work for the Lord, in Park of the Palms and in other places, but also in his employment. He was a man who was thoroughly confident in all that he did was Robert Willie. We note here of Barnabas his experience in the church, because he was one of the recognized prophets and teachers in the church at that time. So he had this experience amongst the Christians in the church at that particular time in his history. His experience in the church. Then we note in verse 2 of Acts 13 his obedience to the call. The Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them." And Barnabas responded to the divine call. I wonder, dear friends, if we have been conscious of the Lord's call to us in one respect or another. Again and again, the Lord is speaking to us, but the problem may sometimes be we're not listening. Barnabas not only heard the call, but he heeded the call. He responded to the call of God. And then we see his diligence in the commission that he was given. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away, or they let them go, better translation. So they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, note, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and so became involved in the greatest business in all the world. Evangelizing, edifying believers, establishing local churches in many places. These were men who had proved themselves in the local church. They had heard the divine call. They accepted the divine commission. And God used them as they sought to diligently serve him. And finally, we note that Barnabas was a confident man. Now, as we think of our brother Willie, he instilled confidence in all those who were associated with him. It was well and truly said by our brother Woodhouse today that if it had not been for Bob Willie, for the Lord using Bob Willie, this Park of the Palms could have very easily gone under. There were very dark and difficult days. Bob Willie believed in prayer. He really trusted the Lord wholeheartedly. He was confident in what the Lord was able to do, and he held on tenaciously to the promises of God. And even when everything seemed to be so utterly hopeless, and I was here during some of these very critical days, when one wondered just how we could ever come out of the tremendously serious situation in which we had found ourselves. But that confidence that Bob had in the Lord was what ensured, I believe, God-honoring faith. In Acts chapter 15, we see that there was a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Now we could discuss this for quite a while, and we could consider the pros and cons. But we must give Barnabas the benefit of this, because although we do not read that he was commended by the brethren, as was Paul, and of course his chosen associate Silas, yet I believe that we see Barnabas as confident about God's pardon. You see, John Mark had failed. He had returned home from the ministry. And Paul just could not overlook this. He could not believe that this young man had any real potential for future usefulness. But Barnabas was given the spiritual discernment, and he believed that the God that he knew could pardon this failing follower. And because of that, he put his own reputation, we might say, on the line for this young man who had failed in the first attempt. Not only was he confident about God's pardon, but he was confident about God's power. That is, in transforming Mark through trusting wholly in the Lord. When he had set out on that first expedition, he had been thinking in terms of himself, his own desires, and we don't know the real reason for his return, but we know that he deserted Paul and Barnabas at that time. Barnabas believed in the power of God in transforming Mark. And this is such an encouragement, I believe, to some who may have failed in their ministry, who may have had a lapse in their Christian life, to know that God not only forgives, but praise his name, he chooses to forgive. I was talking to one of our students just yesterday morning. This was a girl who had a most unfortunate background. It was very sad to hear the past from which she had come. And because the past had been such a heart-rending one, it had influenced her in respect to how could the Lord ever use her when she had failed so miserably. And I was able to tell her of the wonderful forgiveness of the Lord. I took it at 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I said, you've got to claim that promise. You tell me that you've got everything right with the Lord and you want to go on for the Lord now. Let nothing and no one hinder you in your progress that you have determined to make for him. Now I said, as we turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now you forget the past. God has dealt with it. God has forgiven you. Now accept the power that he is willing to ensure you will have by the presence of his Holy Spirit in your life. And I said, keep on saying this. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And repeat that over and over again. That was the prescription I gave her yesterday morning. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And I said, he is able to make you a fruitful servant of the Lord if only you will continue to be led on in the path of righteousness. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to know God's pardon. What a tremendous thing it is to know God's power. That he is able to make all grace abound. That we can do all things through Christ, who infuses us with strength. So that Paul can again say in his letter to the Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not our strength. We will fail. But his strength in and through us will enable us to win victories for the Lord and to see his blessing upon our lives. Confident about God's pardon, confident about God's power, and confident about God's purpose. That is, in making John Mark a sanctified vessel, both suitable and serviceable for the glory of the Lord and in the blessing of other people. So that what was true of Barnabas in his ministry can be true of us in bringing words of encouragement to others. I was back in my native city of Aberdeen, and I was telling the friends there that I shall never forget, as a young man, not long saved, how older brethren encouraged me in the work of the Lord, and how I was helped so much by much older brethren, taking me by the hand, leading me on, and teaching me much of the Word of God. And we should all be involved in this kind of ministry. This was the work that Bob Willie was involved in. I could tell you many instances. One comes readily to mind. We had a young man here many, many years ago. And it seemed that as if that young man would never really have an effective ministry for the Lord in the future. And I shall never forget, as we talked about it, Bob saying, but God is able to make him an instrument that he can use. And he had that confidence in that young man who continued in the ministry and who has been effective in the ministry right up to this present time. So the Lord not only takes us up and keeps us up, but continues to lift us up and use us if we are yielded to him. After all, we're only vessels that God has chosen to use. And God used the ministry of Barnabas so effectively in the life of John Mark that Paul later, you remember, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, says to Timothy, take Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable unto me in the ministry. A young man who seemed to be a total failure became a useful vessel in the hands of the Lord. You remember the object lesson that Jeremiah received in the book of Jeremiah chapter 18. The vessel in the potter's hand was marred. What could be done with it? We read that he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. God never mends what man mars. He always makes it over again. And this was true in the life of Mark, who became a useful vessel for the master. The master stood in his garden among the lilies fair, which his own right hand had planted and trained with tenderest care. My lilies need to be watered, my heavenly master said. Wherein shall I draw it for them and raise each drooping head? Close to his feet on the pathway, empty and frail and small, an earthen vessel was lying, which seemed of no use at all. It is but an earthen vessel, but it lay so close to me. It is small, but it is empty. That is all it needs to be. So to the fountain he took it, and filled it full to the brim. How glad was the earthen vessel to be of some use to him. He watered the drooping lilies until they revived again. And the master saw with pleasure that his labor had not been in vain. His own hand had drawn the water, which refreshed the thirsty flowers. But he used the earthen vessel to convey the living showers. Make me a channel of blessing today. Shall we sing our closing hymn? Now, last week, and I wasn't speaking on this subject, but at the close of my meeting in the evening at Burlington, North Carolina, I gave out the hymn, Is Your Life a Channel of Blessing? Is the Love of God Flowing Through You? The organist played the first few lines, and I noted that the congregation did not know it. So I said to the brother who normally leads the singing there, you must make sure that they learn this hymn before I come back again in the future. He said, when are you coming back? I said, well, it's not next week. So you have plenty of time. So then Brother Chip Dixon said, why don't we sing 557, which comes right after this one? Now let me ask, do you know 556? Do you know it? Well, praise God if you do. Let's sing it then. I thought maybe we'd have to go to 557, but we'll keep to 556. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you ready as servants to do?
a channel of blessing today. And make me a channel of blessing, I pray. To my life possessing, to my service blessing, to make me a channel of blessing today. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is it daily telling of Him? Has He spoken the word of salvation to those who are dying in sin? And make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. To my life possessing, my servant blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. We count the channels of blessing if our lives are free from no sin. We will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life blessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today.
Well, we've really had our prayer, haven't we? We've all prayed, make me a channel of blessing today. So let's have the benediction. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast chosen us in order that we might be usable and useful in Thy service. And we do ask that what we have just sung may indeed prove true of all of us. And may we say again this night, make me a channel of blessing, I pray. And so may the grace of God and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon all who are truly trusting in our blessed Savior until that moment when we shall see Him as He is. Bless us now as we separate. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.